136, but there is a completely different side to the subject of weather about which the media also keeps silent, that today's weather situations cannot always be dismissed as capriciousness and that natural disasters, earthquakes, storms and drought periods are everything else than punishment of God is shown by the following quote from Moira Timms' The 6 o'clock Bus, keep silent. That today's weather situations cannot always be dismissed as capriciousness and that natural disasters, earthquakes, storms and drought periods are everything else than punishment of God is shown by the following quote from Moira Timms' The 6 o'clock Bus, without a complete theory about why the climate is changing, all attempts of man to alter it are certainly dangerous, similar to a therapy with drugs that fight the symptoms without attacking the cause. Is this what Johann Fried was alluding to? Not everything will be the result of natural causes, rather humanity will reach for the clouds and thus endanger its very existence. In 1975 in the US alone, 9 programs for weather modification by the government and 66 programs by other agencies were conducted. These programs contain a plethora of climatological experiments like the seeding of clouds, with particles for condensation to produce rain, to suppress hail, to disperse fog, to influence hurricanes, to divert blizzards or snowfall, the production of earthquakes and tidal waves, suppression of lightning, etc. If today's trend of unpredictable and cold weather persists, North America, Canada, Northern Europe and Russia will suffer most. Weather theft aided by complex technological means where weather is diverted from poor countries could be a very real problem in the near future when natural disasters, famine and drought hit the less developed nations. This could even lead to war. As all attempts to harness natural forces, this will also lead to manifold repercussions. So far, no international laws have been passed that limit the weather monopoly, which in itself seems to be very lucrative. To create weather in one place is only possible by affecting its potential in another place. In 1973, Honduras accused the US of stealing its rain and causing a severe drought when the US diverted the Hurricane Fifi to safeguard the Florida tourist industry. This hurricane caused the severest damage in the history of Honduras. El Salvador, that suffered severe droughts, had leveled a similar complaint against the U.S., like Japan, which thinks the seeding of typhoons off Guam deprived it of the scarce but vital rain. Rhodesia and Israel had both been accused of rain theft by their neighboring states. The UN worked on a ban of environmental war, but that is a complex and difficult matter and it is well nigh impossible to seal that tight. In the cooling, Lowell Bonte cites military men who admitted that aircraft of the US government had ended droughts on the Philippines and the Azores to safeguard US military interests, but that they had declined to answer pleas by several nations in the African Sahel zone suffering from drought and hunger on the grounds that American private companies could be approached. Bonte also describes Soviet plans to change the normal weather structures within the USSR drastically to increase agricultural production. There is also proof that the massive destruction caused by El Nino in the Pacific Ocean during 1982-83 was deliberately caused by the Soviets by an interference in the ionosphere. The phenomenon known as El Nino is an ocean current that disrupts weather by natural changes occurring about every 10 years. Usually this causes heavy rainfall over parts of Peru and a limited area opposite the South American west coast. But the 1982-83 Nino effects were drastically different. The trade winds over the equator, which in the southern hemisphere normally blow from east to west, somehow was subjected to a barrier effect and thus caused the water currents that normally flow towards Asia to flow back and to build up before the west coast of South America. For reasons unknown to the meteorologists, the trade winds then reverse direction and thereby cause cloudbursts in Peru and drought in Australia. Further, this caused earthquakes, mud avalanches and tornadoes in Southern California, over the west coast of North America and in Alaska. This example exactly explains the effects of ELF waves that are beamed with a Tesla amplifying transmitter through the Earth into the ionosphere to produce gigantic standing waves. These in turn serve as a weather blocking mechanism, producing a sudden and 137 unexpected barrier effect in the east-west trade winds. Dr. McCroskey of the Canadian State Department wrote already in 1978 that in the winter of 1976-77 the Soviets succeeded in determining the resonance of the Earth and thus were able to produce relatively stable standing waves fixed to a location with which the flow of the jet streams in the northern hemisphere could be checked or moved. Not only do the purposeful changes to the weather by ELF waves have a detrimental effect on natural weather structures and the rhythm of the tides, they also have a pathogenic effect on humans and a negative influence on animals who depend on warm wind and ocean currents of are guided by them, by disturbing their natural rhythms and thus sentencing them to death. Flights of birds cannot find the island on which they normally breed, and whales lose their orientation because the currents have changed. Very valuable information about changing the weather and about psychological warfare can be found in the book Nikola Tesla, Frienergiestat Blut und Dull, Vap Verlag Wiesbaden, Germany, 1991. The reader is here reminded of the fact that in the case of an ice age or the worsening of the effect of environmental pollution, there are only a few or even no alternatives and solutions available. For the elite, though, who since 1957 know about our disastrous environmental conditions, the case is quite different. At that time, prominent scientists met at Huntsville, Alabama to monitor data and information from the newly installed satellite program. One of the persons present, Dr. Carl Gerstein, predicted that the pollution in the upper atmosphere and the 100 billion tons of CO2 that had settled there would have disastrous effects by the end of the millennium. They reached the opinion that during the coming century human life would no longer be possible on the Earth's surface due to the effects of this pollution. Therefore, they developed a plan that today most UFOlogists are familiar with and whose publication had cost the lives of several persons already. The plan was as follows. Alternative 1, detonation of a nuclear device in the stratosphere to enable the CO2 to escape into space. Alternative 2, building vast subterranean self-sufficient cities where the elite of society would be sent and where they could live until life on the surface would again be possible. Alternative 3, colonialization of another planet, for example Mars. Alternative 1 was later declared too dangerous and removed from the program. The other two alternatives, however, were steadily put in action. Alternative 2 comprises, according to my research, already 75 subterranean cities, 65 of them on the North American continent, one in the Swiss Alps, one in the Transvaal, South Africa, and one in Pine Gap, Australia. The others I cannot remember because I was only allowed to look at a relating list for a short moment. Among the American underground cities are the subterranean bases Dulles Base, New Mexico, Area 51, Groom Lake, Nevada, the Country Club in Maryland and Los Alamos, called Dreamland in California, in which genetic experiments of humans, cloning, test flights and copies of crashed saucers are made, as well as developments like pulsar drives are tested. In April 1992, I interviewed a lady in Sydney, Australia, who does not want to be named. She had worked for an Australian cleaning brigade and on their behalf had also entered the underground air base Pine Gap. She said, despite the threat of severe penalties, that Pine Gap was about 13 kilometers deep, functions on the basis of free energy, had lakes, suspension railways, its own fruit and vegetable gardens, etc. According to official information, Pine Gap can withstand a direct nuclear hit without problems. More about Pine Gap in Stando's Cosmic Conspiracy. State Department wrote already in 1978 that in the winter of 1976-77 the Soviets succeeded in determining the resonance of the Earth and thus were able to produce relatively stable standing waves fixed to a location with which the flow of the jet streams in the northern hemisphere could be checked or moved. Not only do the purposeful changes to the weather by ELF waves have a detrimental effect on natural weather structures and the rhythm of the tides, they also have a pathogenic effect on humans and a negative influence on animals who depend on warm wind and ocean currents and are guided by them, by disturbing their natural rhythms and thus sentencing them to death. Flights of birds cannot find the island on which they normally breed, and whales lose their orientation because the currents have changed. Very valuable information about changing the weather and about psychological warfare can be found in the book Nikola Tesla, Frie Energie statt Blut und Dull, Vap Verlag Wiesbaden, Germany, 1991. The reader is here reminded of the fact that in the case of an ice age or the worsening of the effect of environmental pollution, there are only a few or even no alternatives and solutions available. For the elite, though, who since 1957 know about our disastrous environmental conditions, the case is quite different. At that time, prominent scientists met at Huntsville, Alabama to monitor data and information from the newly installed satellite program. One of the persons present, Dr. Carl Gerstein, predicted that the pollution in the upper atmosphere and the 100 billion tons of CO2 that had settled there would have disastrous effects by the end of the millennium. They reached the opinion that during the coming century human life would no longer be possible on the Earth's surface due to the effects of this pollution. Therefore, they developed a plan that today most UFOlogists are familiar with and whose publication had cost the lives of several persons already. The plan was as follows. Alternative 1, detonation of a nuclear device in the stratosphere to enable the CO2 to escape into space. Alternative 2, building vast subterranean self-sufficient cities where the elite of society would be sent and where they could live until life on the surface would again be possible. Alternative 3, colonialization of another planet, for example Mars. Alternative 1 was later declared too dangerous and removed from the program. The other two alternatives, however, were steadily put in action. Alternative 2 comprises, according to my research, already 75 subterranea. According to official information, Pine Gap can withstand a direct nuclear hit without problems. More about Pine Gap in Stander's Cosmic Conspiracy. 138. Alternative 3 apparently was begun in 1959. In the late 50s already, American saucers had been built with the aid of German scientists who had helped build the German saucers, Victor Schaub, Erger, Viril 7, among others, and by using the technology of UFOs crashed in the western US, a secret program parallel to the official space program was started where the moon's surface was explored using saucer technology. Beginning in 1962, moon bases run conjointly by Americans and Russians were erected on the eastern edge of the Mare Imbrium. Those were the Archimedes base and the Cassini base, named after the craters in which they were set up. The moon bases were planned as stop-off places on the flight to Mars. On May 22, 1962, the first manned landing on Mars is said to have happened. This landing, as well as the flight across the Mars surface with commentaries by the American and Russian crew, was recorded from the saucer. In January 1977, this film was given to Sir William Ballantyne, a renowned radio astronomer, by Harry Carmel, a NASA staff member. On February 6, 1977, Ballantyne had planned a meeting with John Hendry, the manager of a daily newspaper, to discuss publication of this film. On the way to Hendry, he died in a mysterious car accident. Aided by Ballantyne's wife and Carmel, the film finally reached the hands of the science report team of the English Scepter TV station and was broadcast in the next installment of the science report. The station then received the tip that they would lose their license if they would continue to report on this subject. The film shot from the cockpit of the flying craft shows a brief view of the instrument panel, where the outside air pressure registers with 700 millibars and the outside temperature with 4 degrees C. Celsius. The astronauts, whose voices had also been recorded, cheered and shouted. It is the 22 saucers had been built with the aid of German scientists who had helped build the German saucers, Victor Schaub, Erger, the RIL 7, among others, and by using the technology of UFOs crashed in the western US. A secret program parallel to the official space program was started, where the moon's surface was explored using saucer technology. Beginning in 1962, moon bases run conjointly by Americans and Russians were erected on the eastern edge of the Mare Imbrium. Those were the Archimedes base and the Cassini base, named after the craters in which they were set up. The moon bases were planned as stop-off places on the flight to Mars. On May 22, 1962, the first manned landing on Mars is said to have happened. This landing, as well as the flight across the Mars surface with commentaries by the American and Russian crew, was recorded from the saucer. In January 1977, this film was given to Sir William Ballantyne, a renowned radio astronomer, by Harry Carmel, a NASA staff member. On February 6, 1977, Ballantyne had planned a meeting with John Hendry, the manager of a daily newspaper, to discuss publication of this film. On the way to Hendry, he died in a mysterious car accident. Aided by Ballantyne's wife and Carmel, the film finally reached the hands of the science report team of the English Sceptre TV station and was broadcast in the next installment of the science report. The station then received the tip that they would lose their license if they would continue to report on this subject. The film shot from the cockpit of the flying craft shows a brief view of the instrument panel, where the outside air pressure registers with 700 millibars and the outside temperature with 4 degrees C. Celsius. The astronauts, whose voices had also been recorded, cheered and shouted, "It is the 22nd of March, 1962, we are on Mars, and we have air." Remarks: "If I have so far held back with my personal hypotheses, I would nevertheless like to state one here. I hear the reader say, 'What a lot of nonsense, we know that life on Mars is impossible.' My question to you then, do you actually know? Let's be honest, the only thing we know about Mars is what has appeared in NASA reports or what is published in the common textbooks. The public has been told that there is no life on Mars, but that does not mean that we know. You have to realize that the space programs are again monopolies, and no one except the scientists directly involved in the projects really know anything. Whatever information they choose to release, we have to take for granted, since at this moment we cannot fly up to Mars to personally check it out. Let us assume that Mars is really dead, then it's just back to square one. We would realize that we have to stay on Earth and that no adventure is waiting for us there. But if we assume that life on Mars would be possible in one form or another, perhaps under Gaul's domes, with filtered air, do you think that this would be divulged just like that?" The Viking Eye pictures of July 31, 1976, shot from an altitude of 1.278 miles over the Northern Hemisphere, show the now well-known Mars face, 1.5 km long, and to the left of it the symmetrical forms of several pyramids. The very existence of these buildings is revolutionary enough to shake all the so-called world religions to their foundations by hinting that the earthbound human race is perhaps not alone after all, and definitely not the crown of creation. The existence of the pyramids allows two hypotheses that destroy all previous accounts about the history of humanity. The builders of the pyramids were either out predecessors, raising the question of how they got to Mars. If that was the case, they had to have possessed an advanced technology, a fact that Western religions and science denies. Or the builders of the pyramids were not related to humans, which means that the pyramids bear witness to the existence of extraterrestrial life forms, another fact that the aforementioned institutions steadfastly deny. Perhaps the builders have not disappeared, 139, but have just moved a level lower. If, however, They did colonize Earth at one time. They probably are one of our main races now. Perhaps the Red Race, just as the name implies? We have enough different races whose cosmogony maintains just such an event in the past. The movement of the canals of Mars, hitherto inexplicable to the astronomers, supports the theory that Mars cannot be completely dead. If Mars was really dead as many so-called scientists claim, and if no other life exists in the universe, if we humans can roam freely, at least in our own solar system, the question arises of what happened with the Soviet probe Phobos to that landed in 1989 on Phobos. For before Phobos 2 could set a landing vehicle down of the small Mars moon Phobos, radio contact permanently ceased for unknown reasons. Another enigma is the disappearance of the U.S. Mars probe Observer on August 24, 1993. It had the task of taking new photographs of the Mars face and pyramids. Curious, isn't it? Probably a one of our main races now. Perhaps the Red Race, just as the name implies? We have enough different races whose cosmogony maintains just such an event in the past. The movement of the canals of Mars, hitherto inexplicable to the astronomers, supports the theory that Mars cannot be completely dead. If Mars was really dead as many so-called scientists claim, and if no other life exists in the universe, if we humans can roam freely, at least in our own solar system, the question arises of what happened with the Soviet probe Phobos to that landed in 1989 on Phobos. For before Phobos 2 could set a landing vehicle down of the small Mars moon Phobos, radio contact permanently ceased for unknown reasons. Another enigma is the disappearance of the U.S. Mars probe Observer on August 24, 1993. It had the task of taking new photographs of the Mars face and pyramids. Curious, isn't it? More curious is that right now currently there are pictures of that Mars face in full detail being shown and published, May 2001. Make your own judgment about the Mars story. There is evidence about the first flight to Mars by the Reich Germans on board the Big Hornbrew 3, one-third of the crew were Japanese men and women, on April 21, 1945. Further, there exists a logbook of the Viril 7 about its first flight to Mars without a landing. It describes the surface and the Cydonia region is much more detailed than the photos of the Viking in 1976 showed. A film exists of this flight, shots inside the saucer and out from the cockpit, but I cannot provide any leads to it except that it is said to be in the hands of the Societas Templi Martii. I just cannot believe the Americans and the Russians are not able to build an anti-gravity drive, too, as the Australians have already done, according to Standu. Alternative 2. The underground cities, however, is a reality. So, if the second alternative was carried out, why not also the third? The complete story of Alternative 3, the alleged state of Mars, its atmosphere, the suppression of information, the construction of bases, the measures of protection and camouflage, the housing of personnel, transport, the brainwashing of personnel and the difficulties that apparently arose and perhaps are still existing are to be found in Leslie Watkins's book and video Alternative 3. As you can see, the subject of UFOs had often a much more terrestrial and realistic meaning than is generally reported. It is also easier to understand how just where huge sums of money are spent to go against researchers who approach a solution in the construction of flying craft that fly with a kind of fuel no conglomerate of the world can monopolize of tax. In the meantime, however, some people have privately built and flown such flying discs, a fact the multinationals don't like at all. Not all scientists are venal and many have found out that inventions like these should not be patented but put into production directly. Yet I am certain these people, some of whom I know personally, all Germans and Austrians, will never come out publicly with their inventions, rather they will build more of their crafts and give them to the Reichs-Germans. They will try everything they can to prevent that their inventions end in some Illuminati company's hands. The time will come soon when the Illuminati will discover that they have not been as powerful as they believed. Then all these and similar inventions will become available all over the world to everyone. If you submit such an invention to the patent office, you will have, almost immediately, somebody knocking at your door who wants either to purchase the rights to your patent to have it disappear forever or to threaten you with trouble since such products are undesirable for the elite. Hatton comments, "Yes, it does become obvious that the author of Secret Societies has a lot to do with, relative to, or comes from Germany. It is, however, not necessarily so, for in an attempt to allow shelter and protection, we make every effort as, 140, well as himself, herself to keep privacy. Readers, a researcher and investigator goes to where the information is. However, as in the upcoming chapter regarding energy as a weapon, the facts are global in every instance. Energy problems are controlling the entire of the Southeastern Asian area, while the very fuel you use for all production of travel, electricity production, etc., is killing your very species and your world. Can't you even imagine that with volcanoes as problems in a society such as the Philippines that there is enough thermal energy to run the world electrically? In addition, in cleaning up the trash and garbage you could have 1. Methane gas production, 2. Cogeneration from incineration, 3. Production of heat from toxic waste cleanup and, indeed 4. Recycling of plastics, metals, etc., into new products. But until you are ready for taking a bit of care of your environment, you will have destruction, for you demand your own convenience above your own good health and where the information is. However, as in the upcoming chapter regarding energy as a weapon, the facts are global in every instance. Energy problems are controlling the entire of the Southeastern Asian area, while the very fuel you use for all production of travel, electricity production, etc., is killing your very species and your world. Can't you even imagine that with volcanoes as problems in a society such as the Philippines that there is enough thermal energy to run the world electrically? In addition, in cleaning up the trash and garbage you could have 1. Methane gas production, 2. Cogeneration from incineration, 3. Production of heat from toxic waste cleanup and, indeed 4. Recycling of plastics, metals, etc., into new products. But until you are ready for taking a bit of care of your environment, you will have destruction, for you demand your own convenience above your own good health and freedom. What of the new circumstances in the Philippines where more hostages are taken? What of it? The game worked before and watch how it works out again. Until you solve the problem allowing and precipitating such games, you will have them over and over again. Do I play to the Islamic crowd instead of the Christians? Christians? Who and where are Christians in this game? No balanced-based goodness group or religion approves the heinous activities of the few who break the laws of a Christ-based group. Satan is the only God demanding violence and greed-based, ego-driven activities, no matter what you call that entity as in name. But Islam. Whether you call the Book of Islam the Quran, Quran or the Book of Laws, or Muhammad's laws, it is based on Christian principles of honorable behaviors. And, furthermore, when you revert to violence, war, destruction and guns against anyone, you are practicing the Old Testament doctrines of a very harsh God of negative presentation. Christ never suggested such behaviors. Never. But it is written in the law, you say. No, it is not written in the law. Man wrote anything and everything put to physical book or scroll, or at the least, produced them in physical format. It has to be, for if it is in a physical presentation of manifest matter, it was presented by a/many/man/men. So, man changes his perception to suit his wishes. Let us look at oil as a for instance, as you sought the possibilities for energy production and transportation fuel. Would the owner of oil want you to have free energy? Of course not, and it is the same as having a fox inside your chicken coop to guard the chickens. All of the world's oil is now in control of the New World Order, no IT, and that is now come full circle to shut down freedom of use. Shut off the oil supply, which they can do, and you are dead in the water, friends of the new era. Your stoves won't work, your computers won't work, your TVs won't work, the strobe lights on your rock bands are dark, your houses are dark, you name IT and shudder in the realization. If I seem to focus on the Muslim capability, it is because they have the basis upon which freedom can be built if they demand their own banks. I wrote for days on the topic of Islamic banking, which has no usury, interest, and how to structure that which is already in presentation in Muslim societies. I have written endlessly on value-based currency and trade money. You must have something of value backing the exchange token, and the world itself has chosen gold for that representative foundation. There is no value backing the dollar, my good friends. IT is empty paper that you pay for in many ways, while the price keeps going up in every instance for just the use of IT. 141. If a nation has gold assets, how can IT be poor? Easy. The citizens succumb to the rule of the elite who pass out empty pieces of paper and force you to use same if you are to eat or have shelter.